Heavenly Father, we come to you early this morning as we come to your word. Through your spirit, make us to understand your word, that we may be assured today that you even died for us. I ask all this for the Lord's sake. Amen. Morning, everyone. I hope we are all well today. Today, in line with church tradition and church calendar, this Sunday is called a Palm Sunday. The Sunday that precedes Easter Sunday. On this day, our Lord Jesus Christ entered the city of God, Jerusalem, as a king of both the Jews and Gentiles, coming from God. And the crowd that saw him performing miracles wanted to crown him as the king of Jews only, who will save Jews from Roman dominion and fulfill only Israelis' blessed assurance, with the exclusion of Gentiles, that is to say, Greeks and Romans, instead subjecting Greeks and Romans to his wrath, which also this means with the exclusion of ourselves. But Jews never know that he was only entering the temple or Jerusalem to inspect the temple. And having done that, he was destined to die on the cross for all the people of the earth in order to create a new people through his death and resurrection, so that he should conquer once and for all five spiritual enemies of his people: sin, Satan, death, dominion of flesh, and the dominion of the world. Not the Romans, which were the assumed physical enemy of Jews. My friends, our fight is not against the flesh and blood. Therefore, today, both Jews and Gentiles celebrate his victorious entry as a king who, after cleansing the house of his father, a week later died on the cross, thus fulfilling the realization of blessed assurance of all those who will believe in his person and work, not only the people of Jewish origin. Our theme for today is blessed assurance, ukubusiswa okuqinisileyo. We will see how Paul reasserts our blessedness in chapter 3, verses 1 to 13, more especially us who are Gentiles, so that next week when we celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do that with full confidence, knowing that our Lord and Savior died for all the nations. Why Paul did reaffirm the blessed assurance of the believers in Ephesus? Before answering this question, brothers and sisters, as we are anticipating some guests next week, probably some strangers as well, can we think for a moment of some few things that could hinder first-time visitors from coming to our church once again? Or things that could make some to decide whether they are staying in our church? They want to make this church their home. Amongst other things, the first thing that comes in mind is the friendly encounters. This creates, friends, a positive church experience. And this is what every member of a healthy local church should aim at. This demonstrates the church understands the gospel and that God's elect are still far, some of them, and some are within our church. Yet it is not always the case. Sometimes, because of our prejudice, some will leave our church with resentment, discouragement, feeling discriminated, and not being part of God's plan of salvation. But let me commend the welcoming team of CCN. This is not so with you, so please keep up the good work they are doing. Therefore, in response to the question why Paul is reaffirming believers in Ephesus, many Bible commentators assume that the church in Ephesus or believers in Ephesus were not facing any challenges. But when you read Acts chapter 21, verses 28 to 30, you hear these unloving words, words of hate and misconception of the gospel from the Jewish believers who came to Jerusalem to celebrate the Jewish Passover from Asia. When they saw Paul in the temple in Jerusalem, they cried out, "Man of Israel, this is the man who's teaching everyone, everywhere, against the people and the law and this place. And he even brought the Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." The reason why Paul was declared as making the temple unclean, he was seen walking with a Gentile believer from Ephesus in Jerusalem, who was named Trophimus. Therefore, the Jewish Christian assumed he had entered the temple with him. Then they dragged Paul out of the temple and shut the gate. He was then excluded from the fellowship of the people of God because of his welcoming attitude towards fellow believers and his insight of the secret plan of God. To state, this tells us why Paul wrote the letter to Ephesians. It is clear from this that what happened to Paul in Jerusalem, Jews misconceived the gospel at the expense of Gentile believers. Therefore, in chapters 3, verses 1 to 13, he is trying to unpack the secret plan of God to Gentile believers so that he may prove to them from Scripture about their inclusion in God's plan. We are part of the secret plan of God, and we are his workmanship. He is our God and Creator. So in Christ, he recreated us. This portion of Scripture can be divided into two divisions. Verses 1 to 7, he looks at the secret plan of God and tells how he was given grace to minister to us. And in verses 8 to 13, he tells how God's intention was revealed through the establishment of the church on earth, which this is the manifold wisdom of God, which is revealed not only to us, but to the angelic beings. Let us look in verses 1 to 7. He says, God's secret plan or mystery is the gospel. It is the good news in that God has intended to unite all things under Christ, both Jews and Gentiles, so that this was not revealed to the unwise. The mystery of God can only be understood through a special revelation when people allow the word of God to redefine their thinking so that they can be in pace with God and not be in pace with their tradition, or such how God understands his plan. The gospel, friends, is like a budding flower which at its early growing stage one cannot comprehend it fully until she is fully blown so that one can see how the flower becomes. When we look in these verses, we may think that Paul is interesting to tell his life. But when you look how he begins these verses, with a phrase, "for this cause" or "for this reason," which means when he's saying these words in verses 1a, he makes it clear that he's not focusing in his life. He also does that in verses 14a, when he confidently prayed for believers in Ephesus, which means that Paul here, he's saying to Gentile believers, the reason why I am a slave, the reason why I am a prisoner of Christ, it is because I want to further the gospel even to you Jews, so that I can unpack to you that God has in his plan, you in his mind. So it is for this reason that Paul even said to the Gentiles, "I am ready to die so that you may know that God's secret plan is also meant for you. In verses 1 and 2, Paul acknowledges himself as God's servant who has been appointed to declare the secret plan of God to Gentiles. And in relation to this, he mentions two things which are in line with his suffering. He's saying first in verses 1b, he is a born servant of Christ for the sake of the Gentiles. When Paul was writing this letter to Ephesians, he was in house arrest in Rome for inviting the Gentiles, thus equating them to Jews. That you can see it in Acts 28, verses 16 to 31. It is for this reason that he calls himself a prisoner of Christ for the sake of the Gentiles. Number two, he is saying in verses 2, he is a steward of God's grace for the Gentiles, which means in simple terms, he's the administrator of God's grace. He's the one who has been sent to take forth to the Gentiles the grace of God. And he's aware that this was not given to him because of any merits. It was only the grace of God that came his way. In other words, after Paul gave his life to our Lord Jesus Christ, he was given a special favor to preach the gospel to all the nations for their own benefit. And now he is saying to the Gentiles, my life is a testimony for your own benefit. Therefore, he is trying to establish their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If we can go back to the book of Acts 20, Ephesians can gave a sorrowful farewell to Paul when he was leaving them. They cried because it was prophesied that he would suffer at the hands of the Jews because of Gentiles. Then as he's writing to them, saying to them, God's grace is given to me for your sake, he's trying to strengthen them and trying to shift them from focusing in his suffering. Ngamanye amazwi, he's saying to them, mabaqine ekukholeni kwabo. He's saying to them, let you be firmly established in your faith. Why am I suffering? I am suffering because of the plan of God, that God has also included you as Gentiles in his plan. In verses 3 to 4, he says, God's mystery is Christ. That is the secret of God's plan, is all in Christ. When saying this, we may recall our friends that in chapter 1, verses 9, Paul pointed out to us that the plan of God is to unite all things in Christ. That is to call both Jews and Gentiles to God. And Paul received a special revelation to this while he was on his way to Damascus to persecute the church. That is why always when Paul is writing his letters, he always mentions his personal encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus. Therefore, he's saying in verses 5, the special revelation that was given to him cannot be given by any man, cannot be given even by the law. The only person who can give the revelation as to what the secret of God is only the Spirit of God, as we see it in verses 5. And this was not revealed before Christ came on earth. It was only revealed that when Jesus Christ came on earth, he came to die for both Jews and Gentiles. It is for this reason, friends, that we hear at some point in Luke, King David asking himself about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, while he was teaching in the temple, he asked the Pharisees, why was David saying through the Spirit, the Lord, after he has fulfilled all the things, he has taken his son and put him on his right hand side. Here, friends, it was not revealed, this revelation, before Christ came on earth and before the Spirit of God was given to the church. Verses 6 and 7. On the arrival of Christ and after his death and resurrection, it is when then now God the Father and God the Spirit sent God the Father and God the Son sent His Spirit to the church so that this secret of God can be revealed to all those who believe in Christ. Therefore, in these verses, we see that the Gentile believers are three things pertaining to God's promise. First, they are fellow heirs, meaning that they share the same privileges that are carried in the promise of God during the time of the Old Testament, which means they are protected by God and will also be preserved to eternal glory. Number two, they are the members of the same body. So that is to say, they share the same belonging. They are not separated from God. They have fellowship with God's Son. And number three, they are partakers. Which one thing that we need always, friends, to bear in mind when the Bible says to us, we are the partakers in the promise. We share God's divine nature, which this builds in us a faith that endures all troubles and tribulations. Hence, Paul is always going back to his life, that it is only through the grace of God that he suffers and endures the suffering that he was facing. Then, the second section, in verses 8 to 13, God's eternal purpose is for all nations. In the gospel which Paul preached to Gentiles, God's eternal purpose is revealed. And according to verses 8 to 13, it is that all the nations of the earth are to know the unsearchable riches of Christ. By the word unsearchable riches of Christ, he refers back to chapter 1, verses 3, whereby Paul says that, let's thank God our Father for every spiritual blessing that He gave us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this, friends, if we recall, He's making many repetitions that in Him, in Christ, we have this and that. What does He mean? He means that it is only through Jesus Christ that we can have all the spiritual blessings that God has preordained before the world began. This is in line with His eternal purpose. God has no beginning and has no ending. So which means that all the blessings that we have in Christ, even before we were born, God has predestined us to have those blessings. So Gentiles can only be part of God's plan when they believe the good news of Jesus Christ. So which means by being a child of God through being a natural descendant to Abraham does not give you access to the family of God. And as well it means to us, being born from a Christian family or being born by a pastor, whoever who's taking part in the church, does not include you to the plan of God. The only thing that includes you to the plan of God is your faith in Christ. So he's trying to establish the believers in Ephesus back to the original faith that he preached to them. In verses 10, he's saying, the establishment of the church is an amazing and a thing that we cannot even fathom. A thing that even the angelic beings were looking forward to it. Why is he saying this? He's saying that for the revelation of God to be revealed in Christ, it was not only for us human beings, but it was also for Satan and the angelic beings that are serving the elect of God. Which means when we go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, we see there Paul telling us that before we came to faith in Christ, we were being tossed to and fro by Satan, by our own flesh. Then now, what he's saying? He's saying for the church to be established on earth, as per verse 10. This is an amazing news, and this is the manifold of the wisdom of God, that Satan has been conquered, sin has been conquered. That is why in Luke chapter 2, verses 13, you find, friends, there, when they saw, or the news came to the shepherds, that a Savior is born in Bethlehem, there you see the worship and the praises from the multitude of angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." By mere worshipping in this way, the angelic beings, they say, at last, what we have been serving now has been revealed even to the sons of men who are on earth. Has been revealed even to those who have been suffering for a while. But now, for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ was the dawn of our salvation, was the dawn of the salvation of even the Jews. Then in verses 11 and 12, so in Christ, the eternal purpose of God has been realized, both for Jews and Gentiles, according to verses 11 and 12. As we saw, the church moved from 12 disciples, and now its members are scattered all over the world. It is the fastest and growing religion in the world. This shows that with confidence, we can be certain that God's plan of salvation was not only for Jews, it was as well for us. In verses 12, he says we may approach God with confidence. As Paul's suffering and his writing, which is now the word of truth to us, strengthens us whenever our heart faints because of the circumstances that we face daily in our Christian walks. He says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Verses 13, therefore, let us not lose heart. The eternal purpose of God is for all people. The work of Christ on the cross of purchasing us from the dominion of Satan, from the works of this world, from sin, was to purchase a new people who are holy to God from both Jews and Gentiles. And this, friends, was it not for us? It was for his glory. Then what does that mean for us? It means that we can approach God with confidence. We can as well be certain of our final destiny. And even death cannot separate us from the love of God. God is our eternal God and Savior. So with freedom and confidence, whenever we face different challenges and trials, we can pray to God and he will answer our prayers. And also, friends, as we approach the Easter weekend, this is a great encouragement for us to go out and invite those God's elect who are still far from God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace. We thank you, Father, for knowing that the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his resurrection did it only purchase those whom by origin were from Abraham. It as well purchased us who were far away from you, who were still sinners, who were still far away from you. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we prepare for our Easter weekend to have our zeal and, Heavenly Father, to go out and preach the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ to those who are still far from our families, from our friends. I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.